Good morning. In the mid-20s, a lady named Florence Scovel Shinn wrote a book called The Game of Life and How to Play It. It was a thin book, about 96 pages. And one of the things that she wrote in that book that caught people's attention was the present moment idea that there is no separation between God and her or anybody else. She was a lecturer at Unity in New York City. She had been a Christian Scientist. She had found that way to be a bit restrictive. And so she made her way into the Unity churches of New York and New England and lectured about this thing she called the game of life. And one of the things that I loved and appreciated about it was Unity times 10. It was the work of Dr. H. Emily Cady, complementary to it. It was a way of telling folks and reminding people that there was no distance between them and their good and them and their God. And she did not base her book or her writing on the idea that there was an inherent brokenness or separation or something that we needed to do in order to access God's power. Now, why I think this is important is because the transcendentalists, including Florence Scovel Shinn and Dr. Cady and these that wrote these books around the turn of the century, I believe influenced secular psychology that was to come. Dr. Abraham Maslow was a teacher of self-actualization and wrote about the hierarchy of human needs. But one thing that he spoke about that Florence Scovel Shinn had talked about years before and Dr. Cady had talked about years before is that you don't need to come from a place of deficiency in order to become better. In other words, there's no need for self-criticism and self-condemnation and prostrating ourselves in guilt in order to grow. Sometimes we think we have to pay a price because we live in a world that places a price on many things. But love cannot really be bought and sold or traded. It can only be received and accepted. And the things that I loved about the old-time metaphysicians were the fact that they were very close to the Emersonian transcendentalist, and they were getting it quickly, and it was fresh, and they wrote from the perspective and the love that was in their heart. And as I followed the secular psychology of the 20s, 30s, and 40s, and you know, we can speak of John Watson and B.F. Skinner, and those that taught things about human nature and our drives and our inner compulsions and our repressions and our neuroses and all those things that they studied, everyone came to the idea that eventually we must make peace with who we are, where we've been, and have an idea of where we're going. The neat thing about Florence Shinn and others like her was that in one sentence, she could wipe out 3 pages of doctrine and dogma and survey. For example, she would write this type of sentence. Right now, in this very moment, my good comes to me, my unfailing supply is before me, and I open my heart and my mind to receive it. That was one of her big sentences. Notice, there was nothing that you had to say before. There was nothing you really had to do later. You just had to accept and receive right now. She saw life as a game because, one, she was a bridge player. And for another reason, she said that throughout the Bible, the metaphysical interpretation of the Bible, that when people trusted and obeyed their inner impulses and the God they understood, they saw results in their lives. Now, their lives. Whether those results were everything that they thought they'd be was another matter, but things changed. And that was, which was for the highest good, showed up in the folks' lives. I like the idea that there is no need to supplicate to an angry, reticent God. Unity teaches, and good psychology, by the way, teaches, that the only moment there is now. The thing you have to forgive is yourself and others and walk forward in newness of life. We can therapize it over 2 or 3 years, and some folks want to do that, and that's fine and wonderful, and you learn a lot about yourself when you do that. Or you can make a decision at the moment and say, I'm releasing those things that no longer work because I'm really carrying them in my mind, and I'm the thinker in my mind. Happiness is a thought away, and I just have to decide in favor of me. And why is that good? Because that's the way Christ Jesus dealt with people who came to him and needed help. He didn't ask about all the things that had been done wrong prior to this meetings of people. He didn't say, you need to repent and atone and go on and on about the brokenness of the person. Right at that instance, he said, you are one, you are healed, you are whole, go forward. Blessed to be a blessing. You see, to wallow around in our mistakes gives us an identity. It maybe is not the best identity, but we feel like we've got an identity as someone who has suffered and someone who is hurt and someone who needs to be paid attention to, and we wear those grievances on our sleeves and we look for situations that validate that. In other words, what we are here and here can't help but show there and outside. That's just the way it works. Christ Jesus calling forth the perfection in people that he saw was a way of saying, I love you, I believe in you, my Father loves you, I want you to walk forward in newness of life. It was almost instantaneous. The people around him were amazed at the healings that took place and the quickness and the newness that people received at that time. It wasn't a protracted period. It was now. You're healed. You're one. Go forward. As a minister and one who's interested in personal growth, I am not very fond of deficiency motivation. I don't believe that there's anybody in front of me that's broken. I don't believe that there's anyone in front of me that needs to punish themselves for things they have done, think they have done, might have done, thoughts they've thought, any of that. I believe that life is new every moment, and you can make a new decision about yourself right now. Carrying around the things that hurt eventually hurts more because you have the original hurt and now you're carrying the baggage with you of the things that hurt and you're compounding your own problems. That's a hard way to go through life. I like to say that I want to be in an attitude of forgiveness. I just would like to be able to say that I don't blame, so therefore I don't forgive. An example of that is if somebody comes to me and says, I feel I may have offended you, or I feel like I may have, you know, hurt you in some way. Even if I felt a little bit like that, I didn't really blame. I didn't really point a finger. And I was talking about this morning in the book study class. It's more like I always felt a little uncomfortable when somebody comes to say that to me. Say, I'm sorry and I want to tell you that. I say, oh, come on, it's all right. We all do things. I'm not holding it against you. I think that's the way we're supposed to be. I don't mean to be arrogant when I say that or in any kind of conceit, like I have some kind of answer, but I think that old a line from the movie in 1969 Love Story where the protagonist said, "Love means never having to say you're sorry." Now, that's a very metaphysical statement, because the way we understand truth and unity is that we don't have to apologize to a reticent God, to a God who is condemning and pointing fingers at us. We only need to realize our proper place and function. And that is healed, whole, blessed to be a blessing. Good mental health. That's what Christ Jesus was about. That's what Buddha was about. That's what any Atman in any ashram in any place in the world is about. Restoration, wholeness, and taking hold of the instant. Back to the game of life. Florence Shin would write very pithy quotes in her books, and then she would have a page that was blank that said, "Affirmations that click for me." So therefore, you could use it no matter what the problem was. Another one of her favorites was, "Everything that is not for my highest good is swept away in front of me. My way is made clear. I get out of my own way and I accept it." You see, those are powerful words. They're words that speak right away to the heart. There's no, "well, maybe," or "if God wants to," or "if it's His will." God's will is for our health, happiness, and growth. Now, I know that some of us have lessons to learn that may be harder than others. I don't feel like I need to downplay someone's sufferings. Neither do I need to magnify them. The idea is we get on the track to be made whole. We begin where we are. There's no need to look backwards in pain and suffering and hurt. There's enough lessons out there that present themselves to us, that present us with challenges. We don't need to be a challenge to ourselves. All we need to do is, as A Course in Miracles says, remember who we are. I knew of a lady in a ministry that I served about 11 years ago who kept going on and on about something that she had done in the past. She had gone to the bishop, even, and sought forgiveness. She had gone to various ministers. I was brand new. I was there a month. She came into my office and repeated the same thing. She seemed to need to go over and over this. And I said, in my exuberance of being a new minister at the time, I said, "What is it that you feel like you need to keep repeating this for? What is it that you feel inside hasn't set? Or what forgiveness do you need?" And she said, "It seems like I just can't let it go. I can't forget. I hold it to myself." And it really wasn't anything that we would consider, you know, terrible. It was just something that stuck. And I pointed out to her, I said, "You realize that you have an identity built around the suffering? You realize that you can say, not very much can be expected of me, by me, or anyone else, because I'm nurturing this." You're not saying that in words, but that's the idea. You don't want to let it go. And if I may be so presumptuous to say, if you let it go, you'll feel an emptiness until that's filled with something positive. It's going to take a little work on your part, or you can do it like that. And she said, "I never really thought of it that way, but maybe it's worth a try because I've gone through this so long." Now, whether she did that or not, I can't honestly tell you. But I know she wasn't in the office of the senior pastor or me, the associate pastor, anymore. You see, life is about this instant and now. We can have nostalgia for the past and enjoy it, and I certainly do. I love many of the things that I've gone through in my life, and revisiting those things in memory and walking through those times. And I can think about a wonderful future that's full of challenges and opportunities, but that hasn't happened either. Now is what I have. Now is the working unit of my life and yours. And as I prepared this message this last week, I thought about the idea of how we hold on to things that hurt, not only for an identity, but to say, I'm a good person. Well, you're not a good person because you hold on to it. You can care, you can love, you can try to work with it, but holding on binds you. It's a form of resistance. And we know in metaphysics that what we resist persists. You see, stagnation is not a law of the universe and of God. Circulation is. If you look at it, the clear waters flow. The blood flows through us in a circuitous fashion. We're always seeking completion. A flow of power we talk about. The unbroken chain of our good we affirm. It's sometimes I think we step on our own hose and kink it. We just need to make a decision to step off and let the water flow. And then we need to make some new goals and see ourselves in another way. We go and look in the mirror, and then we can affirm with some truth that I am new, I am being remade, I have forgiven myself and others, and I am going forward. Stepping off the hose lets the power flow through. Turning on the light switch lets the power come on. The darkness doesn't need to be coaxed out of the room. It flees when the light is on. When you turn your inner light on through forgiveness, through acceptance of God's love, through acceptance of who you are and whose you are, the light is in you right then. It always was. You just had hidden it under some condemnation and some resentment and some upset and some hurt. I don't mean to minimize those things we go through, but neither do I want them to be the defining thing of who we are. Ernest Holmes said in this thing called life, he said, God's love and presence is ever inside us every moment and cannot leave for even a second. If that is true, and I believe it is, then we have no reason to be down, negative, and do self-defeating things and hurtful things to ourselves and others. We just need to open our arms and embrace the new opportunity. Expansion and growth is a law of life. When we stagnate, when we stay in one place, when we refuse to grow, when we refuse to forgive, we begin to wither. Our first inside and then, unfortunately, sometimes outside. We become our own worst enemies by recalling all those things that I talk about, slings and arrows that flesh is heir to. We all have them. We all have things we wish we'd done different. But let it go into the infinite sea of God's love in the past. Dr. Norman Vincent Peale talked of a man named Rob Rowbottom who stood at the bridge that was in the countryside, and he was very upset and guilty about things that he had done and not done in his life. And Rowbottom said he finally came to see that as he stood on this bridge, and this was the place he would meditate and pray, it really was all water under the bridge. He pictured the things that he had done wrong being like the water that flowed constantly. Notice its emotion. It didn't come to stay, it came to pass. I'm talking about radical self-forgiveness, and I'm talking about reaching out for new life and being present and doing all those wonderful things we talk about in our classes and our books and our groups. I'm here to encourage each one of you And I encourage myself. I have to feed myself too. And I do it through remembrance of why I'm called and what I'm called to do. And that is to assist each and every one that comes across my path to be all that they choose and all that they want to be. If they want to be a great lawyer, great teacher, I affirm that. They want to be a great mother or father, I affirm that. The goal is as individual as a people. But the process is the same. Florence Shen also talked about the idea that the verses that were in the Bible that were difficult to understand really had psychological truth and merit to them. For example, when we hear that the three men were put in the flames and burned in the Old Testament, and it was a horrible story about punishment and who emerged from a fire and who stayed in and all this. Florence Shen said, this is about the fires and the furnace of human affliction. It's about what we're holding against ourselves, the fire of resentment, the fire of anger. You see, the Bible is truly metaphysical. If you try to believe everything in it, you can go almost crazy because it contradicts itself in many ways. It is a book that is an allegory and a time of humanity's trying to understand divinity. That's us. We're doing the same thing today. They did not have the luxuries we have of knowing certain scientific facts and certain things that we know are part of the natural world. They believed that everything that was negative, every thunderstorm, every cold, every disease, was God's will because they didn't understand it. We understand better today, but we're still seeking and we're still searching and we're still wanting to reach out for our best. What I'm saying throughout this whole message today is to love yourself enough to give yourself the chance to get the new life that you long for. Don't you know that there are people out there that take substances and self-destruct and do things that are counterproductive because they are afraid of their own deep desires to be something different, something new. It's medicated. It's pushed down. It's not understood. We live in a world that prizes conformity. We live in a world that says, walk lockstep. Don't make too much noise. We want a thrifty working group of people that don't color outside the lines. I don't want that for me. I don't think you want that for you. The ones that we revere and the ones that we love were the ones that dared to be different. The Rosa Parks who said, not today. I'm in the front of the bus. The Dr. Martin Luther King who said, I have a dream and I've seen something. I've been to that mountain and I want to tell you about it. These people broke the back of conformity. And we revere them, we honor them, because they lived by their own lights. Any good minister, any good teacher does not want control. They want to see you live by your lights, whatever they may be. Make your own mistakes. Make your own life. Do the things that you need to do for you. Walk out of that mold. Color outside those lines. Shirley MacLaine said, the fruit of the tree is out on a limb. Sometimes you have to go out on the limb and risk it breaking. But that's all right. You'll get back up and you'll do it again. You'll learn. Each experience is for learning, if you look at it that way. Nothing's wasted. As Florence Shen says, nothing in spirit is ever lost. It all takes place here. Isn't that interesting? Right here, this is what we're always dealing with. I've said happiness is a thought away. I believe that's true. Change is a thought away. Forgiveness is a thought away. It happens as quickly as you want it or as slowly as you might need it. We're all at different levels of spiritual growth. We all have different goals and ideals. We all have secret things that hurt, and we all have secret celebrations that we honor. We are a complex mixture of many different emotions and ideas, but one thing we have in common is we want more life. We want more living, and we want to be happy. And I'm telling you, with everything I have in me, the way to do that is to forgive yourself, forgive others, and then walk forward in newness of life and set the goals and break the molds and go do the thing that keeps you up at night thinking, if only I could do this, if only I try, if only I had the courage to walk this way or to be in this relationship or to try this job or to paint this painting or to write that poetry. We honor those who have walked that path. Why can't you do it? They're no different than you. The great creators, the artists, the inventors, they were scorned by people. Nobody wanted the gift they gave. And sometimes they were burned at the stake. People were afraid of newness. Well, we don't do that much anymore, thank heavens, or not that I know of at all. So you can probably take a chance without feeling you're going to get burned at the stake. You can probably take that goal that you love and nurture and want to see come to pass in your life and take a chance on it. That's what life is. It's all, in a way, a game. You get up, you try, you fail, try again. Works, doesn't work, sort of works. All that's part of it. So I don't mean to be flip, and I don't think Florence Shin meant to be flip when she called life a game. I think she was trying to say that it is the idea that I do this in positivity and in forgiveness and in love, and I can expect this to come from it. And if it doesn't come just like that, there's still another way to choose. See, life isn't always like this. It's sort of like this sometimes. And it's these detours sometimes that give us the most pleasure. And we remember. We remember the days we strived, the days we were hungry, the days that we were learning. Those are things that are very precious to us. Because when we get somewhere, guess what? We want to go somewhere else. That's just in our nature. Growth. Growth is a law of life. The game of life is a game of growth, the game of love, the game of understanding. And when I say game, I don't mean to be flip. Please understand that. It is a process. And I'm so glad that she wrote this book, The Game of Life, and I encourage you to read it, because in it you will see everything addressed that we deal with today that was talked about in 1920, whatever. I think it was 26. Life hasn't changed that much. We still kind of want the same things, and we still kind of need the same things. I encourage each of you to break that mold and think about expanding in ways that mean something to you. Not that means something to others, not that what others would like you to do, but what resonates inside you, the deepest truth that you feel that is you. Hold on to that. Follow that. Don't ever deviate from that. That's God speaking to you. That's God's will for you. You see, we thought God's will was drudgery and heartache and accepting our lot in life. But Jesus said that's not true. Good psychology said that's not true. Love says that's not true. We go forward and we experiment, and we, in this thing called life, we are undergirded and upheld by love. Now, if we love ourselves and we are confident in ourselves, we can take those chances that break those molds that make greatness. I see greatness in front of me. I love people, and I love the potential in everyone and in me. And it's something that fills my days and my nights with a lot of excitement. I love to hear about this, to read about it, to know about it. That's why I want you to share with me. If you do something and you don't expect you would have done or that you haven't tried and it works, I want to know it. If it doesn't work, I'd like to know it. I'd like to be part of it. Let me know. I'll stand with you. I'll affirm with you your good. Your good is at hand. And Florence Shen says in one part of the book, there is no place you can go where spirit and law and love are not. No place. I believe that because Scripture said it, but more than that, it resonates with the deepest part of what I feel in my heart. I know the truth for me, and I live it. And I know that you know the truth for you, and I ask you to live it. And enjoy yourself. Don't forget to have fun. I affirm all wonderful things for you and Unity of Bernie. And I hope this week is your best yet as you make a decision in favor of yourself, in favor of your growth, and in favor of your ultimate expansion as a person. Enjoy. And so it is.